Father, Lord, we declare today that you are glorious. Yes. We declare that you are holy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You are righteous. And Lord, you are love itself. Very and even life. Hallelujah. So Lord, we worship you and we thank you. Even as we come together for fellowship today, we also declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple as it is written. Even so, let it be for every one of us that's on the platform now and those that will listen later. Let the light of God's word shine into our hearts and give revelation and understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. Even at this time, we give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. While we are still in the overall series is God's eternal purpose and his purpose for our lives, you know, but inside the series, you know, we're bringing out various angles and perspectives. Yesterday was about God's original purpose for man. And so today we are going to continue on that particular one. So today is part two of the God's original purpose for man, deep dive. And, you know, I want us to focus more today on some of the things that we talked about yesterday and see how the Lord takes us further in that. Praise the Lord. So yesterday we looked at the Genesis creation account, you know, how God created things and, you know, so we'll look at that again today. And I want you to know right away that when God wanted to create something, the ones at least that we are told, there's some things that are still shrouded, even in that Genesis one. Didn't give us everything, but he gives us enough. And what he gives us, we have to figure it out and understand it. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29 tells us that the secret things belong unto the Lord. Well, there's a reason why he may choose to keep some things from us. And those things that he chooses to keep secret, yeah, that's his prerogative. He can do that. But those things which are revealed belong unto us. So the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So the secret things, unknown. There's some unknowns in that Genesis account. He never told us exactly how he created the angels and some things. But, you know, well, let's figure out the ones that he already told us. So we see the opening of the book, a summary given and how he began to unfold it. We see that he began to speak to various things. And you can think of it this way. God called out the things that he saw in his mind. Think of it that way. You know, call them out. And that's the way it is. That's important for us because, you know, this lesson is to transform us from this, you know, subpar level that we are in to where God wants us to be. It's so far because he doesn't measure up. The best of us at times don't measure up. But by us digging into some of these things and learning what God is showing us, he's supposed to transform us from this so far level to be calm like him. Because that's what we're discovering, that's what he had in mind, you know, from the beginning. Yesterday we talked about purpose and intention and the motive and what was behind, you know, the design of God. You know, what did he have in mind? How did he do it? So, you know, when he wanted to, you know, create things, he would create one thing first. And then use that as material for another thing. And he would speak to that other thing and say, well, let the waters bring forth abundantly, and so on. And that, you know, he spoke to the waters, brought off certain things, and spoke to the earth, brought forth certain things, and so on and so forth. So we covered that already yesterday. And in fact, we read the whole chapter of Genesis 1, you know. So, but here is the where I want to take off from today. As he created each of these various kinds, you know, he called them forth and spoke to whatever it was that he knew, you know, he wanted to bring that thing from, you know, like the waters. He used the waters to bring forth a lot of things, you know. He used the firmament to bring forth some things as well. You know, and then he used the earth to bring forth some things. And these things that he brought forth, as God created them, he put certain things inside of them. He said seed, you know, like seed yielding in the case of the fruit, and that beast after his kind, and so on and so forth. So we talked about that yesterday. Now, after he created all those things by speaking to various things, speaking to the waters to bring forth, you know, the fish and great whales and different things, and even fowls, and then spoke to the earth to bring forth the beasts and all creeping things, and the earth did. You know, he spoke to the firmament to bring forth lights, and they did, and so on. Now, when it come down to this place, I call it the peak of his intent, or what's in his mind. You know, the designer has something in his mind, right? And he's designing and creating the thing. So when he got to the peak of his, call it imagination, imagine this one, he called it forth. Imagine that one, he called it forth. And he spoke to this one to bring forth that. And so on and so forth. Now, when he will get to the peak, he spoke to himself. Glory to God. So that's the first part that I want to bring out today. You know, how God created man. It was amazing. You know, spoke to the waters to bring forth fish and all these things, birds and so forth. Spoke to the earth to bring forth the animals and trees and various things. Spoke to the firmaments to bring forth lights and everything. And finally, after he's done creating everything else, I mean, there's nothing else. Now he speaks to himself. Yeah. And you can see how powerful the way that God was creating things. He always has to speak to something to bring forth something. And that's the way he did it. And let's learn something from that. You know, so now he turns to himself and speak to himself. Well, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And we've explained before that Christ is the image of the invisible God, Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. And again, in Hebrews 1 and 3, Christ is the express image of his person. So, you know, well, you could say he spoke to Christ or he spoke to himself. And he said, well, bring forth, you know, after our kind. So create everything after their kind. Now it's going to create, you know, what I call God kind after his kind. And he did, actually. Because, but you see, there was something else he did. We, you know, we didn't get all the details of how he did it here. But when we got to chapter 2, we see some more details of how he did it. In chapter 2, so we're going to move forward. Remember, don't forget, we're bringing something out of chapter 1 is he spoke to himself. You know, he's going to bring the man out of himself. Brought the fishes out of the water, the birds, brought the animals out of the ground, brought all these things and so forth. He's going to bring the man out of himself. What is really the man? But he's going to create him a suit. Praise God. You know, think of it this way. You know, when they send the astronauts into space. They engineer this incredible suit that is suited, pun intended, it's suited for the atmosphere of space. You know, they can't go in these regular clothes they wear every day, so they create them a suit, they test an engineer that can withstand that atmosphere. They put the man inside that suit. It's called an astronaut. Well, God, in wanting to bring forth this man. Now, remember, the man is like God, because made in his image and likeness. Well, and he's coming to dominate and rule and govern the earth and bring the earth into alignment. That's what subdue means. Subdue is to bring everything into alignment. Bring that thing into your will. Break the disobedience. Break any rebellion. Break their will. Make them subdued. And bring them into alignment or whatever you want. That's what a kingdom does. The kingdom will go and colonize a place and bring their own culture into that place. And you find that that place will learn the language of that ruling kingdom. When Great Britain came to colonize my country, Nigeria, many, many years ago, we started to learn the English language. And, everybody wanted to go to England and so on. We learned that. And I know also that when Great Britain and France wanted to colonize Canada, say, they were fighting over the place. And, I think each of them got the portion of the place. So you go to some places in Canada now, the places that the French or France had influence over, they speak French there. You go to these places where, Great Britain had influence over, they speak English there. It's the same country, but, they were fighting over it. And this one got this side, this one got that side. Brought their culture, and so forth. This was way back many years and centuries ago. But we see that the culture is still there, and so on. Yeah. England, America brought their culture. We speak English and so on. Eventually they evolve into something else. And you begin to create their own identity, but the culture still remains. And God also wanting to bring the culture of heaven into earth brought a man from heaven. His name was Adam. See, the man was not the suit that he made for the man, but what was inside the man, he put him in the suit. Well, you're going to need to dwell on this earth, so I'm going to make you a suit that you can use, so he made him out of the earth, because he's going to put the man in the earth, put him inside a suit, a body hast thou prepared for me, put him inside that suit. But the real man was on the inside. And when God was communicating with Adam, when Adam was in the spirit, now notice this. When Adam was in the spirit, while God was communicating with him in the spirit, God didn't need to go and come. They were together. Where God was, Adam was there. Where Adam was, God was there. But they were connected in the spirit. He had, God put his spirit inside of Adam. And so, where Adam was, God was already there. He didn't need to come and go. Now, after the fall, though, something happened, something tragic, which is what we call the fall. The fall actually was something very tragic. What exactly did Adam fall from? Now, let's talk about it. Did he fall from heaven? No. He fell from the spirit realm. the glory of God was the spirit realm. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. That's why I call it subpar. You know, it's not up to par. We're not at the level of the glory of God anymore. We're falling short of the glory of God. I was Adam. Fell short of that glory because of disobedience. And so he lost that communication realm. And now, when God needed to come and find him, before, God didn't need to look for Adam. Where Adam was, God was. Now, when Adam fell from God's glory, think of him as, you know, there are two parts of Adam. There was this spiritual part that was the glory of God. That's who Adam was. All right? We're told that, you know, the woman, you know, is the glory of the man. The man is the glory of God. So, you know, the glory of God was upon him like that. And God put him inside a suit that could actually dwell on the earth, which was this body. But there were certain rules. You have to stay connected. If you take the fish, not the amphibians now, if you take the fish away from their natural realm and put them on the earth, they're not going to last very long. They're going to die. We talked about that briefly yesterday. If you take those that are supposed to be on the earth, you take them out of the earth and go put them at the sea underneath, well, they can't last very long. They're going to drown. You know, so, but you have to, they have to stay connected, you know, to the source. The fish must stay connected to the water. The animals must stay connected to the ground. Even plants must stay connected to the soil. You can't, if you cut off, if you yank this plant out of the soil and put him on the ground, he will eventually die. It's not connected because you have broken the connection. That's why Jesus said, abide in me. If you abide in me, that's stay connected. Stay connected to me, and I am connected with you, then you can say anything. You be like God. You can do say anything you want. Now, Adam was connected in the beginning. That's why he had the knowledge of God. Could do anything. Could say anything. God could say, wow. You know, God was liking it. What are you going to talk about this one? God liked it. What are you going to say to this one? He liked it. He said, cool. The man has arrived. Let me rest. And the man had arrived, actually, you know, until he listened to his wife. You know, so the woman should have not listened to the serpent. Listened to her husband. You know, well, we have all this mess today because of everybody getting off track, you know. Adam was supposed to listen to God. Eve was supposed to listen to Adam, not somebody else. And so on. Now, when they broke that, now God now has to look for Adam. See, he's no longer in the realm of where God was. God now had to put on a suit like Adam. And come look for him. Adam, where are you? And now they heard his footsteps. And they run away. His footsteps. He didn't have any footsteps before. It was in the spirit. You know, when he was coming, when Adam was in his spirit, he was with God. God didn't need to look for him. It was when he fell. Now he's completely away from God's realm. And God now has to put on a suit and come look for him. The suit he put on was similar to the suit that Adam was wearing. You know, now, so now they are hearing his footsteps. You know, Adam, where are you? Where are you now? You know, so now, you know, the way to hide from God, let me just say this metaphorically, the way to hide from God is to drop out of the spirit realm Now, I say metaphorically because we know according to Psalm 139, you can't really hide from him. But metaphorically, the way to hide from him, you know, is be disconnected from him. And now, Adam was disconnected. Where are you, Adam? I can't see him. Because, you know, he's falling from the glory of God. I'm going to talk about that glory of God for a minute. What God intended Adam to be, as we said, was like God. So you could say Adam was put on the earth to be a God, small g. And at first he was actually, because, you know, in that realm, he could define the order of the day. He could give commandments to the fish and everything and everybody and anything. And there was something on Adam. There was some presence, some glory, some aura, an aroma that issued out of him that brought everything into alignment. It was called the glory of God. And when he fell from that glory, well, you know, all the creation, all they needed to look before, all they needed to do before was just look at Adam. And they got their instruction just by looking at him, because his glory of God was on him. And it put everybody in alignment. There was nothing out of course. Now, when that glory was no longer there, when they looked to Adam, there was nothing to, you know, instruct them anymore. The glory of God was no longer there. God put that glory on Adam that will cause dominion. It will just cause everything to be in check. Now, when that was no longer there, well, these things, anarchy set in. You know, animals started to misbehave. Plants started to grow poisons. Everything started to misbehave. It wasn't like that in the beginning. When he was God, finished with it, it was very good. And when Adam could not be found by God, he was hiding. All of a sudden, he figures out that he's naked. Why is he naked now? Because the glory of God is departed. See, Ichabod, the glory is departed. The glory of God has now departed from the man. And he's naked. Now that tells us that, look, we are naked, completely naked, when we are not covered by the glory of God. Adam was naked. Now, God only dwells in that realm. So he, I was looking for him elsewhere. Didn't have to look before. It was, they were right there together. And when he found him, I was like, oh. You know, I was a sight. See, God only wanted to behold his glory in Adam. And that was a sight. So he had to make him another suit. This time around, well, you know, skin of animals or whatever and so on. Covered him up. You know, he'd lost that glory. Well, God already knew these things before the world began. He was also going to prepare someone else to take care of all that business and put things back in alignment. That's the Christ. You know, Christ also, in the mind of God, would come and fix all things. You know, and a body that has prepared for me would be, you know, the Christ. You know, I come to do thy will, O God. He would also come in some body that God had prepared for him, also again, made out of the earth for the redemption of the sins that were from Adam. The man was the one that sinned, and God had to bring the Christ in the nature of man to pay for that sin. But let's go back to, you know, someday I will deal, if the Lord allows me, on the real gospel. The message of the gospel is, you know, gospels, there are many gospels that we preach. The gospel was preached to Abraham. What gospel was preached to Abraham? Well, the gospel of God's providence was preached to Abraham. Because, you know, we see that in Galatians, when we read the book of Galatians and studied it, you might remember this from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. Let me just quickly digress a bit and read it to you. Galatians 3 and 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, this is God's providence, you know, preached the gospel before unto Abraham. So there was a gospel that was preached to Abraham, you know, and that was that, what was that gospel? In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That was the gospel preached to Abraham. Praise God. Now, the gospel that Adam was supposed to carry is good news. It's the gospel. Good news from Abraham was that all seed, all, not just some, not just these ones, all. Well, gospel that Adam was supposed to carry was that, you know, all of creation and be in alignment under God's government. That's a good thing. Because the riches of God's glory would be in his government. And remember, the reputation of the king, we've talked about this in the past, you know, the reputation of the king or the kingdom really is reflected from the well-being of the citizens. If the citizens are all paupers and just not faring well, then, you know, that is a reflection on the kingdom. You know, so from time to time when we've done the kingdom series, I've often told people that, look, it is in God's own interest, interest of the kingdom, to make sure his citizens are looking good and they're doing good, because that's a reflection on his kingdom. Now, so the gospel that Adam was preaching was that, look, everything is good in God's kingdom, because it was very good when he inherited it. I mean, when God handed it over to Adam, it was very good. And so it was Adam's role to make sure everything remained very good. He didn't, you know, do that. But the characteristics that God put inside Adam, we're going to find it here in Psalm 82. So let's read Psalm 82. Now, in Psalm 82, there is something there that may upset the religious folks, you know, because it's not about being religious. It's God saying it the way it is. Now, religious folks cannot understand the things of God. That's a part of the problem with the church for many years. We've been so religious. We can't understand. I mean, when Jesus, there was a discussion that Jesus was always having. I mean, Jesus was always interacting with the Jews and the people and so forth, talking to them. But in John chapter 10, and I'm coming back to this Psalm 82 because Jesus referred to it in John chapter 10. It's a discussion he was having with them, with the people. But these religious folks could not understand the things of God. Now, they were religious, Pharisees, Sadducees, and a whole bunch of people, very religious, but they could not understand the things of God. And Jesus often said that, look, if you were of God, despite the fact that you are religious, if you are of God, you will hear God's word. Well, you not, therefore cannot hear them because you are not of God. And my word does not abide in you because you are not of God. Now, if he that is of God, hear God's word, you know, which I'm saying. And he will tell them these things. Now, in this John chapter 10, and we're going to relate it to Psalm 82. I want to show something that happened here, you know, because Jesus was saying a lot of things about he being a good shepherd and so on and so forth, you know, and he's the one that lays down his life for the sheep, you know. I'm the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and I'm none of mine. The Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This is the gospel that Jesus was preaching. You know, that, look, I'm going to bring everything together, and so on. And he said, well, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, and that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself, and I have power to lay it down and power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Now, you can read all of that in from verses 7 of John chapter 10 to about verse 18. All these things that I've said are there. And then he said there was a division among the people, the Jews, because of these sayings. And many of them said, look, this man hath a devil. Why are you listening to him? Others said, well, these are not the words. I mean, the ones that said it was a devil, so are the religious folks, because his doctrine upset them. The doctrine of Christ always upsets religious folks. You know, that's why, you know, when we start going into some of these deep, you know, not really so deep, but, you know, the clarifying the doctrine of Christ on this platform, it upsets some people. They will leave, because the doctrine of Christ will always upset religious folks. That's it. You can't handle it, because Jesus was not religious. He never started a religion. You know, people, in fact, the greatest enemies of Christ were the religious folks. I mean, the common people heard him gladly, but the religious folks, they were his greatest enemies. The religious folks, listen to some of these things that happened between him and the religious folks here. And they were saying that, well, you know, he has a devil, you know, and so on. You know, and, you know, then they asked him a question. Look, how long do you make us doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. This chapter 10 of John is very interesting. And Jesus said, look, I already told you, but you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Not just what I said, but what I do in his name. You know, now. But you believed not. Listen to this. Because you are not of my sheep. Even as I said unto you that my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, in a minute, Jesus is going to drop a bombshell. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, what comes next blew the religious people out of the waters completely. You know, I and my Father are one. Uh-huh. Now, at this point, they're going to take up stones to try to kill him. So they took up stones to try to kill him. And Jesus said, well, many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me? And they said, for any good work that you have shown, we're not trying to stone you, but for blasphemy. Now, listen to what the religious folks thought was blasphemy. Okay? Blasphemy. Because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Capital G. You know, these people knew that if you say, I am my Father, I want, you are God. If you say, I'm the Son of God, you are God. And these people know these things, you know, but it's impossible, because this man is the son of a carpenter, they said in their head. They know his mother, Mary. They know Joseph. They knew his brothers and sisters. They knew he grew up in that house. And this carpenter now be telling us that he's God. That's blasphemy. And blasphemy must be stoned to death, any blasphemers must be stoned to death according to the laws of Moses and so on. You know, so Jesus said this to them. Listen to this. Jesus said this. Is it not written in your law that ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and this scripture cannot be broken. Jesus said, look, that scripture, and I'm going to talk about the scripture cannot be broken in a bit. That's the part I'm going. If the word of God, the law, Jesus called everything in, you know, those Old Testament writings, Moses, Psalms, prophets, lumped everything together. You know, that's why I said, you know, not one jot or tittle of the law, called lumped everything together. If the, what he said concerning them, he called them gods, and the scripture cannot be broken. So Jesus is saying, he called you gods, that makes you gods. The scripture cannot be broken. We're going to talk about that in a bit. Now, why then do you say that thou blasphemest, I who have came out and proceeded from God? You know, Jesus said that. In John chapter 8 and verse 42, he told them where he came from. He said, look, I came out and proceeded from God. You can read John 8:32. If God were your father, you would love me, because I proceeded forth and came from God. Now, so Jesus was made of this substance that was God. Adam was made of the substance that was God. You are made of the substance that is God. And that's where we want to talk about today. There are certain substances, waters, the fish were made out of them, earth, the animals were made out of them, the trees were made out of them. God spoke to all those things to make those things. When he wanted to create man, he spoke to himself. So the man was made out of God, because he's like, well, let the waters bring forth these things. Let the earth bring forth these things. Now let God bring forth the sons of God. Hallelujah. Let God bring forth the sons of God. Make man in our image. That's it. And he did. So back to John chapter 10, Jesus said, look, if he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, why do you think that I'm blaspheming when I say that I am of God? Because I came from God. Why do you call that blasphemy? What was Jesus talking about? Psalm 82. Let's go to Psalm 82 and see how powerful that psalm is. This is what God was talking about. And this is the origin, this is the nature of the things that Jesus was talking about, and the sons of God. It tells you. Finally, you know, our destiny is revealed at last. Psalm 82 and verse 1. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. Which gods? Which gods are in the congregation of the mighty? Now, how long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? And I'm speaking to these gods that they are not doing the right thing. They're not defending the poor and the fatherless. They're not doing justice, you know, to the afflicted and needy. You know, he's telling these gods that you need to deliver the poor and the needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. This is what you should be doing. And he said, because you are not doing that, because you don't know, they know not. Neither will they understand. So they walk on darkness. Now, this is devil's greatest tool. Make sure we don't know. Make sure we don't understand. And that's why we always quote every day, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding. Because the devil doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want you to know who you are. He doesn't want you to understand the purpose of God, you know, so that you can continue to be in darkness. Now, that's his devil's plan. You know, and he said, because of that, the whole earth is out of order. All the foundations of the earth are out of kilter, you know, because there's nobody to put the earth into alignment. This is it. It's the story of Adam and the fall and the rest of us right here in this verse, you know. And I said, God said, listen to this. God said, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, But because you have no understanding, and because you do not know these things, then you will die like ordinary men. Praise the Lord. Powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Katoba Rashinda Kamosaya. If you can understand this, then you will not die like ordinary men. If you can understand this, the devil will not put this sickness and all these things upon you. Well, you and I both. We all need to understand this. And this series is part of the transformation. Transform our thinking and bring us to the alignment of God's original purpose. And so, he said, called you gods. And Jesus was referring to this thing. He said, look, if he called them gods, and all they had was the word of God, he sent his word to them. Why do you say that I proceeded out of God and blaspheming because I say so? You know, and he said, the scripture cannot be broken. Listen to this again. If God calls you gods and the scripture cannot be broken, now that means you are gods. Small g though. Now, if we are gods, well, I mean, come on now. How many of us are actually acting like gods? I mean, you know, in some places, they actually talked to some of the apostles who are gods. When they went somewhere and healed somebody, they said, the gods are come among us. Well, because, you know, that's what they think the gods can do. And, you know, so what was Jesus referring to when he said the scripture cannot be broken? That scripture in Psalm 82 cannot be broken, that ye are gods. Cannot be broken. Now, this is why I say this kind of teaching or speaking or speech will upset the lukewarm and the religious. And they call it blasphemy. They called it blasphemy when Jesus was speaking. So if anybody calls this lesson blasphemy, I will not be surprised, because they said the same thing to Jesus. When Jesus said, look, I came from God, and I and my Father are one. See, now, the source of Christ, you might put it that way, was God. Our source also is God. We come from the same stock. So if Jesus said, well, I came out and proceeded from God, well, so we can say the same thing. I came out and proceeded from God. That's why we always say that, look, you were made in heaven in the image of God, already in heaven. And you may be assembled upon the earth, but you came from heaven in the first place. You know, so Jesus was demonstrating that. He was saying that to the people. You are gods. This scripture that said so cannot be broken. Well, the people are not going to hear any part of that nonsense in their mind. So it's blasphemy. So they're going to try to kill him. You know, so, but it is not blasphemy. And Jesus said a lot of things that upset the religious folks. Like he would say, look, I am from above, ye are from beneath. And if I say otherwise, I will be a liar like you, because I know him. I can't say I don't know him. I know where I come from. You know, so look, was Jesus being proud? Was he being arrogant? Was he being blasphemous when he was saying the truth? You know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, you and I need to get to the point where you can say, I am from above, and you know, not from beneath. I am a son of God. That's right. Does not the scripture call you sons of God? Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, they say, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. We already are sons of God. Not that we will be sons of God. We already are sons of God. But we're not manifesting his glory. You know, we're still walking in lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. You know, and so we're walking in darkness, basically. Our minds are still darkened. That's why all the world is still out of kilter. But that's what Psalm 82 is saying. But when the sons of God finally figure out who they are, it's game over for the devil. That's it. That's a checkmate right there. When they figure it out, and they will figure it out. Part of these lessons is to help us figure it out. We figure out, my goodness. You say, wow. You know, I've told you this story in Galatians 4. I told you the story of the little child was born into the monarchy, the kingdom. He was a prince, but he doesn't know it. So the father has to hire trainers and instructors and so forth to train him. And he's a little boy, begins to grow up. He doesn't even know that he's a prince. He doesn't know what that means. And they have to train him. They have to train him in all the things of the kingdom. They have to learn. He has, you know, regimen throughout the day. He's got to learn some lessons, civic lessons, history lessons, who the friends of the state are, who the enemies of the state are. Has to learn all these things. Has to learn the law. Has to learn everything. And he has to take him through physical training also, because he's a fight. He was born into a fighting kingdom. The king is, you know, usually, you know, the captain of their host. And so he has to learn how to fight, how to defend, you know, hand-to-hand combat and all these things. So they bring in, the king brings in a few martial artists there to train him and so on. Get him out of bed. He doesn't want to get out of bed. They drag him out of bed because they have the king's commandment. He said, oh. He said, well, it's 4 a.m. Got to get up. I said, what? He said, well, king said so. Get him out of bed. Has to take 2 hours of training, 10 laps in the swimming pool, and all these things that you have to do, you know, and he's so worn out every day. He's weary and bones and shoulders hurt from all the training. Can't do anything about it because it's the king's commandment. I'll go through all this stuff. But one day, I mean, all of a sudden, one day, you know, all this reading and all these things that he's learning, he finally figures out that he is the prince. Oh, game over for all those instructors. When he figures out that he's the prince, I'll put all those people out. I am the prince. Don't tell me to get out of bed. You don't tell me, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, you don't do so and so forth. I am the prince. You know, and he walks up to the father and says, what is all these people? I am the prince. But I say, now you've arrived. You know, you're ready now. See, that's the story of all the laws and all these things. They were like those schoolmasters. Buffet us here and there and all kinds of things until one day when we figure it out. And you know, figure it out. Say, I am the prince. Well, put all those schoolmasters out of job. They're out of it. Can't do nothing to you anymore. You've now figured out that you are the prince. And the king says, yeah, you're ready now. And he hands him the scroll. It's a scroll of the kingdom. It's going to hand him now. You're ready. So well, I read a lot of things. Now you go read this one. There's some secrets inside this one. Because you are ready now. You couldn't give that to him before. You know, it's a parable of the kingdom. Lord told it to me and I'm telling it to you. Now, so when we now figure out who we are, it's game over for the devil. So Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. So if you are God's, well, let's think about it. You know, if we came out of God, then we must function. We talked about that yesterday. It must behave like God, function like God. So what's in mind of God? I mean, we are of the stock of God. You know, it's not natural for us to do otherwise. So some of the things we talked about yesterday. If you start behaving in an ungodly manner, that's not natural. It's natural for us to be holy as he is holy. That's what Jesus said, be therefore holy as your father is holy. Be therefore perfect as your father is perfect. These are natural. You know, it's not far-fetched. It's not impossible. Now, religion tells us it cannot be done. Nobody is righteous. Religion tells us. Nobody is holy. Religion tells us. But Jesus said, no, you must be holy. And you must be perfect. And it's not that you are trying to be holy. No. is that you are recognizing the God who is in you that is holy. See, I mean, Jesus did not tell them, try to be holy. He didn't say that. He said, be holy. He didn't tell them, try to be perfect. He said, be perfect. You don't need to try. Just be. See, just be. Because God is. God said, I am. So you also be. Don't try to be. Just be. We don't need to try to be perfect. Just be perfect. You don't need to try to be holy. Just be holy. How do you do it? Well, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. It's inside of you already. You just have to recognize it and be who you are. When you are walking in disobedience, that's not who you are. You know, when you are in bitterness against your husband and bitterness against your wife, you are in bitterness against your brother and your sister, your daughter, your son, your parents, you are, that's not who you are if you're a child of God. You know, that's anti-nature. That's unnatural. What is natural for you and me to do is to be like God. Now, I alluded to this yesterday, but let me read it to you again today to explain that to us more clearly. This is the nature of the sons of God. 1 John chapter 3. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. 1 John 3 and verse 9. Religious people will tell you that's not possible. Well, you know, whose word are you going to take? Religion or the scriptures that cannot be broken? These scriptures cannot be broken. Why is it that they cannot commit sin? Because his seed remaineth in him and he cannot sin because he's born of God. He stays connected. When he's connected, he can't sin. When he walks away, that's not natural. The natural place for him to be is in God. It wasn't natural for Adam to not be in the spirit. God had to be put on theophany to come and look for him. You know, no. You know, now he's not there. Where are you? You know, it was natural for him to be connected with God in the spirit. So when we walk away from God through disobedience, that's not natural. The natural thing for us to be is be holy. It's like God is holy. Yesterday I said, put the attributes of God. What who God is? Put it in the chat room. Many people put the right thing. One of the greatest was the fruit of the spirit. Holy. Righteous. All of these things. You know, that's who God is. God is not trying to be holy. And he's not trying to be righteous. That's who he is. God is not doing righteousness in order to be righteous. That's his very nature. He's righteous. God is not just trying to be loving. He is love himself. God is not trying to be in the light. He is the very light. God is light. God is love. God is holy. God is righteous. That's who he is. He's not trying to be. And neither should we be trying to be. We need to learn that we are. And say, now are we the sons of God? You are already. Now, we're not quite there because see, religion has kept us. Our religious beliefs that nobody is righteous has kept us from being like God. This is what religion has told us for thousands, I mean, hundreds of years. You know, religion has told us you can't be like God. Nobody is like God. Well, Jesus said, to the contrary, the scripture says you are gods and the scripture cannot be broken. Wow. Let that sink in. For a minute, coming out of the mouth of Jesus, he said that. And imagine even the people that he was saying it to, they were not even the sons of God. They're just religious folks. And Jesus was saying that to them. How much more the sons of God? A son takes on the attributes of the father. You know, he said, well, if the spirit of God that dwells in us, you know, and so forth, that spirit bears witness in our spirit and we can call him Abba, Father. What does Abba really mean? Well, it's the origin of something, the source. And God is the source. We are his offsprings. So we are the offspring of God. Don't think of God, you know, as, can't think of the eternal Godhead like monkeys and us. People think that they came from monkey. Well, they be like monkey. They think that, and they make gods of things of wood and animals and so forth. And Paul got to a certain place, said, they say unknown God. He said, what are you talking about? You know, whom that you now worship, you know, who you've been worshiping ignorantly. Let me declare him unto you. It's not the unknown God. You know, I begin to tell it to them. Now, what are we saying here? We're saying that there was a whole lot more to this story of Adam than we've been taught. You know, and, you know, there's this knowledge of who Adam was intended to be had been lost forever. You know, and Jesus came and began to show it to us. When Jesus came upon the scene, well, he started to do the things that Adam used to be able to do before the fall. Walk on water. Adam could walk on the water. He could go under the sea. He could talk to the fish. He could do anything. Which is why Enoch was surprised when he said, well, what meaneth those things there? He probably didn't even know there was cherubims. You know, what are those things with the flaming sword? Adam explained to him. Why? Well, they're keeping the way of the tree of life so that we don't go in. What do you mean we can't go in? Well, Adam would tell the story. You mean all that you had, you could talk to the animals, you could do all these things, you had dominion, you could control them, you could name them, you could do everything, you had the knowledge of God, and we can't get any of that back. I'm sorry, son, it's over. Can't go in there. Well, why not? You know how children ask questions. Why not? I told you, it's over. God said we're going to die because, you know, we failed him. He said, well, did you ask for his forgiveness? Because back then, nobody knew about forgiveness. You know, he said, no. You know, God said we're going to die, so we're going to die. There's nothing about forgiveness. He said, so, what are we doing now? I said, but you are not dead yet. He said, well, we're going to die. Sure, you mean we're just going to sit around and wait to die? That was a day that the Holy Spirit was showing me these stories in the spirit. You know, I said, well, yeah, we're going into that. That's it. You know, I said, well, we'll see about that. Glory to God. We will see about that. If I can't go in there, whatever is in there is coming out to me. And he determined in his heart, he's going to figure out one way or the other. I'm going to get back in there. I'm going to get that tree of life. Or whatever is in there is coming to me. So in his mind, he said, I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to figure this thing out, a way back. And Adam said, there's no way back, son. It's over. And Enoch couldn't take that. And he began to seek after God. Now, there are some people like Enoch that are going to figure out that there is a way back. You know, religious folks are telling us it's over. There's nothing we can do. All we can do now is wait to die and go to heaven. You know, just wait to die. You know, you live 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, whatever. You do some good. You know, you get sick sometimes. The Lord heals you. You do this, you do that, then you go to heaven. You know, if you're good, you go to heaven. If you die, well, if you were good, then the Lord raised you up, then you go to heaven. I mean, this is what our belief systems are taught us. Belief systems are not taught us that there is a way back to what Adam lost. But somebody said, I'm going to figure it out. And his name was Enoch. And he figured it out. Now, are we going to figure it out, or are we going to just sit around and wait to go to heaven, wait to die? Some people are actually waiting to die. Yeah, let us just die, dust to dust, you know, this to this, and so on and so forth. And religion will also tell you that it is appointed unto man once to die. Therefore, everybody must die. That's what your religious systems have been telling you for centuries. Whereas this same Bible said, we shall not all sleep. Hallelujah. But we shall all be changed. Religion would tell you, oh, no. We must all die. You know, the only way to get out of this world is to die. Well, Enoch proved that was not the only way. Elijah proved that was not the only way. You know, well, religion tells us that's the only way. But once we figure out our way back to what Adam lost, we begin to see God's purpose. That you should be God upon the earth. And until you are not, until we get back to that, the earth will continue to be out of course. That's what Psalm 82 says. But once we finally figure it out, that's why Romans chapter 8 verse 19 says, the whole earth is out of course, waiting for the sons of God to figure it out. And they figure it out, the glory returns upon them like it was with Adam in the first place. They don't even need to say anything. That glory puts everything in check. Glory to God. You know, the Son of God, Jesus, he comes. Disciples have left. The last boat has left the station. No problem. He's just going to walk on water and catch up with them. That's what Adam used to do. Adam could walk on water. It didn't matter, you know, and so forth. You know, Adam had everything. You think Adam lacked anything? Jesus never lacked anything, even though he carried nothing. He said, look, when I sent you for it and told you not to carry purse and wallet, did you lack anything? Jesus didn't need to carry any purse, any wallet. He owns everything. You know, he just trusted his disciples to take care of it. They'll take care of, you know, preparing dinner. They'll go to the city and go and get meat when he was hungry in John chapter 4, talking to the woman at the well. And disciples, they had money. They go to the city, they go and get meat. Jesus didn't worry about those things. Let them do it. Meanwhile, before he came, he was already filled. Because his meat, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Now, once we get to that point, that'll be our meal. And when you eat that, you're satisfied. Glory to God. Well, one day he needed money to pay for taxes. Jesus wasn't paying taxes. I mean, he wasn't saying he wasn't going to pay. But he said, look, do we need to pay taxes? Who pays taxes? The children or the slaves? He said, well, the slaves. He said, well, okay. Then foreigners. He said, okay. Then the children are free. But nevertheless, so that we don't anger them, Jesus wasn't there to anger all these systems of Rome. No. Well, nevertheless, in order for us to not anger them, well, do this. Jesus didn't carry any money. Neither was Peter at the time. He didn't have money. But Jesus said, well, I'm going to tell you where to get it. Go get your fishing gear. Go to the lake. The first fish you catch, there's going to be a silver coin in his mouth. It'll pay for you and me. My goodness. Now, see, I've got thousands of people here. They're hungry. Well, Jesus said, feed them. I said, well, we can't feed them. Where are we going to get the money? And Jesus just laughed because he knew within himself what he was going to do. See, he's the Son of God. It doesn't matter whether there are thousands of people to be fed and you only have one boy's lunch or nothing at all. It makes no difference to him. The Son of God. So, well, what do you have? He said, well, we only got this little boy's lunch that gave it to us. But what is that among so many? Jesus said, well, that's cool. That's enough. But here's what you're going to do. Sit them down in companies, 50s, no more than 50 at a time. You know, because you got to keep believing. Praise God. And then Jesus took the thing, blessed it, and gave it back to the disciples. And then after that, Jesus just walked away. He didn't even look back. Just walked away. He did not manage the feeding of the multitude. In fact, Jesus himself did not feed the multitudes. Our religious system tells us that Jesus fed multitudes. Jesus did not. The disciples did. You know, so correct that from your religious teaching. Jesus never fed any multitudes. It was his disciples that fed the multitudes. Jesus only gave the bread to the disciples and he walked away. See? Now, but he gave them instruction. As you are going, dishing out these things, dish out to the first 50, you're going to have opportunity either to doubt or to keep believing that you can dish out to the next 50. You know, so the little piece of bread that was in the hands of Peter, Andrew, the rest of them, they're like, oh my goodness. Well, okay. So they give it out and they find out that the thing is multiplying in their hands. It wasn't multiplying in the hands of Jesus. It was multiplying in the hands of Peter, Andrew, and the rest of them. Because they are gods. Hallelujah. You know, and Jesus showed them, you can do this thing. All I have to do is put a blessing on it, just like he put on Adam, put that blessing on Adam, and Adam could do everything. Jesus put a blessing on something, put it in your hands, and you can do everything, like Jesus. Did not Jesus say in the book of John, you know, chapter 14, you know, and verse 12, did he not say that verily, verily, I say unto you, that believeth on me, the works I do, the same shall he do? Not that you will be trying to do it. You will just do it like Christ. Praise God. So these are some of the things that we must recognize. That he that said unto you that ye are gods, the scripture cannot be broken. So ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up our lesson today. That's the nature of who God made man to be, what he intended him to be like God, to think like God, to see like God, to function like God, to govern like God, and bring the earth into alignment. Now, we lost it, but we're getting it back. Glory to God. Jesus got it all back. The ransom that I pay for the world is my flesh that I will give for the life of the world. He got it all back. And he now is speaking to us by the Spirit. Now, tomorrow, by the grace of God, I want to deal on, or maybe next lesson, whether tomorrow or whatever, I want to deal on how God created things and how he functioned and how we need to understand that so that we can do the same thing. Now, you know, we know it. We're just going to go a deep dive into it. Remember, this is a lesson about deep dive. It's not that you don't already know it, but we're not staying on the surface. We're going to dive deep, you know. So there is a good story. Let me tell this last story and end here. In chapter 47, there's a good story there of how deep dive works. You know, how does it work? Well, you can stay at the shore or just dip your feet slightly into the river and the water will be up to your ankles or not even get in the water at all. You know, but you can get in there and just stay on the banks and the water may be up to your ankles. You can go a little deeper and the water will be up to your knees and so on and so forth. Go a little deeper yet, up to your loins. That's around your waist. Well, go a little deeper yet, up to your shoulders. Go a little deeper yet, well, it's water that you can't wade in it, you got to swim, and so on and so forth. So we're going a little deeper. It's nothing you may not have heard or known before. Or maybe some things we didn't know, but even if you did, going a little deeper. That's what it is. So we'll be going into the deeper, into how God called these things out, what it was, how it works, and how we can learn how he did it, see how he did it. That's what Jesus did. Calls his disciples unto them, showing them how to do it, giving them practice lessons. Well, that's how you do it. I showed it to you. Well, watch me do it, and you do the same. It's that simple. Praise God. So we're going to figure that out as the Holy Spirit teaches. So I'm going to pray over the room and end it here. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the mercies and grace of God that called us to be like you, even when we didn't know it. Even before the world began, you called us, you ordained it,
You wrote our names in the book of life. And you said, when we came upon the scene, you said, we are gods.
Ah, hallelujah. Taking on the nature of God, whereby we can call him Abba, Father. He is our source. We are like him. I and my Father are one. Today, Lord, I pray that you help us to be able to say, I am holy as he is holy. I am righteous as he is righteous. I have the fruit of the Spirit because he is living in me. You know, I am love because God is love and God is in me. You know, all these attributes of God, everything else that we are doing, Lord, that is contrary to your nature is unnatural. And I pray that you would deliver us from it as we have knowledge of who we are. Well, you're better than that, Jesus said. Jesus even said to the woman, and she caught the cut in the middle of her door, you're better than that. Go and sin no more. You know, don't try to not sin. Just don't sin anymore. You're better than that. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Help us, Lord, to know that we are better than that. You know, we are in the image of God. Thank you, Jesus. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory because the scripture cannot be broken. We honor you, Lord, and we thank you. Give us revelation and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.